I think that's the way it's supposed to be. The more you look at the Word and study the Word and meditate upon the Word, we sing that one song, "In thy book revealed, I see the Lord." And that's what it is. We see the Lord in his book revealed. Now, Song of Solomon, chapter 2, I'm taking the title for the message from what it said in verse 16. My beloved. Of course, we know, talking about the beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the church saying and declaring that the beloved Savior, he's mine. He's my wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. He's mine. My beloved is mine, and I'm his. I'm his because he chose me in that eternal covenant of grace. And then, my beloved, he feeds among the lilies. He feeds among his people. He comes and he takes care of us and he feeds us and provides for us. So the title of the message, My Beloved is Mine and I Am His. Just think about that a while. Someone said, what a happy and glorious truth that this declares. Someone made a statement, said, this is the happiest verse in the Bible. This is the happiest verse in the Bible. My beloved is mine. I'm his. It reminds us of what is said there in first chapter of Ephesians, doesn't it? To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. We are accepted, not in our works, not in anything we do. We're accepted in the beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we'll just take a look at verse 14, 15, 16, and 17 this evening. In verse 14 and 15, the Lord speaks to his church, his bride. And then verse 16 and 17, the church admires and worships the Lord Jesus Christ. And we continue as we look at these words and study this Song of Solomon. We continue to learn more about the glorious, intimate union and relationship between Christ and his church. They're one. They're made one in Christ. What a glorious love story. He loved us with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, does he draw us to himself? It's a beautiful love story. Sovereign love. What a happy marriage between the Lord and his church. He's always loved us and chosen us in Christ. They're madly in love with one another. He loved the church so much that he gave his life for her, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. John put it this way, we love him, and we do, not like we should. Not like we will one day. We love him only because he first loved us. That's true now, isn't it? In a most gentle and loving tone, the Lord speaks to his people and deals with his children graciously and tenderly. Verse 14, O my dove, O my dove. You remember Isaiah 42, a bruised reed shall he not break, a smoking flax shall he not quench. He's a tender, compassionate, merciful Savior. The Lord calls his church by a new name. He called her before, my love. Now he says here, you're my dove. We're his love and we're his dove. A dove washed in his blood and made righteous in him. He compares the church to this bird, a dove, innocent, lovely, humble, faithful, peaceful. A dove is the symbol of peace. It's a symbol of God the Holy Spirit too, isn't it? When our Lord sent his apostles out to preach, he said, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Dove is a bird of peace. It seeks peace. This is what God makes us by his almighty sovereign grace. He makes his people gracious, loving, merciful, and kind. Because it's the fruit of his spirit. remember? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance, these things. And then he says, you're my dove. You're my love. You're my undefiled. And then he says, you're in the cleft of the rock. In the cleft of the rock. Like Moses of old, safe and eternally secure in Christ, hidden in the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the words of that song by Augustus Toplady? Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood be my sanctification and my cleansing, my justification, the water and the blood. Christ has put us in the cleft of the rock. That is, in Him. In Him. He took our sin, the punishment for our sin, and He gives us His righteousness. And then he mentions there, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for thy voice is sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. The secret places of the stairs. Our life is hid with Christ in God. The psalmist said this, for in a time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me, and he shall set me upon the rock. Remember our Lord said to Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against that. Hidden in the Savior's side, by the Spirit sanctified in Christ. O, my dove, thou art in the cleft of the rock. Christ our shelter. Christ our refuge. Christ our hiding place. In the secret place of the stairs. Now what is he talking about here? The Lord has revealed unto his bride the only access and the glory is by the stairs of his blood, by the stairs of his grace, by the stairs of his righteousness. We only come to God in the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the secret things that have been hidden from the wise and prudent and revealed unto his babes, his little ones. The secret places of the stairs. Not everybody sees how to approach God in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's hid these things from the wise and prudent, hadn't he? And revealed them to his babes. In the secret places of the stairs, he made himself known unto us. By his sovereign grace, he said, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. When Moses said, show me your glory, that was God's answer, my mercy. The secret place, secret place. Let me see thy countenance. Let me see thy appearance, thy face that's looking toward the Lord Jesus Christ in saving faith. That's how we look to him. In saving faith. He said, look unto me and be ye saved. All the ends of the earth, I am God beside me. There is no other. And then he says, let me hear thy voice, for thy voice is sweet. Our prayers and our cry unto the Lord is sweet unto him. He hears the cry of his children. And he answers the cry of his children. All that our Lord has done for us and is doing for us is out of covenant love, sovereign mercy. He delights in his children, calling upon him and praising him and coming unto him. When he said, come unto me, all your labor, heavy laden, don't you know the Lord delights to see us continually? To whom coming, as Peter said, to whom coming? He delights in his children, turning to him, trusting him, looking unto him. He delights in their face and our heart being turned toward him. In saving grace, looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me see thy countenance. Let me see thy face. Let me hear thy voice. For sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is beautiful. Beautiful. You remember what he said over here in chapter 1 about that countenance, that being comely? In chapter 1, verse 5, I am black. We are sinful, guilty, but comely. What a glorious thing. I'm a sinner through and through, but in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have His beauty because we have His righteousness. Saving faith is always looking to the Lord Jesus Christ, who's the author and finisher of our faith. Saving faith is always crying unto the Lord for mercy. Lord, have mercy on me, the sinner. For sweet is thy voice. But if we really knew and believed that our voice, our cry unto the Lord is sweet unto Him, shouldn't we cry unto Him all the time? Lord, help. Lord, have mercy. Lord, show us the way. What a wonder of His grace to have such worthless and sinful creatures saved by His grace, because He delights in us out of His love toward us. Don't turn, let me read this to you. It's familiar with all of you there in Romans 5. He said, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." He died for who? He died for the ungodly. He commends His love toward us while we were yet sinners. And we sing praises unto the Lord, don't we? All the way through the book of Psalms, we've seen that how many times? "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name." And He says, "Your countenance, your appearance is comely and righteous in my sight, because we are in Him altogether righteous." Look what He says over here in chapter 2, verse 10. He said, "My beloved spake and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away." He says that again in verse 13, the last part. "Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away." And then look at chapter 4, verse 7. "Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. Completely cleansed by His blood, justified in the Lord Jesus Christ." Now look at verse 15. Take us, the foxes, or take for us, defend us against the foxes." The foxes would be our adversary, our enemy. "Defend us. Take for us the foxes. Spoil the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, so our vines have tender grapes." What He's saying is this: seize for us those who are against us, the little or big foxes. Here's good advice: beware of the foxes, even the little foxes that spoil the vines. We cry unto the Lord to seize for us, or defend us, or help us. Let us as believers beware of foxes. What would they represent? False prophets, ministers of Satan that would turn us away from the true Christ and spoil the tender grapes of His mercy and His grace toward us. Lord, seize those foxes. Defeat those foxes. You remember, Paul writes this in 2 Corinthians 11, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their deeds," their works. So, Lord, seize for us these foxes, whether they be big ones or little ones, that would spoil our love for Christ, that would spoil our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us always be on the lookout for the enemies of the gospel, those little foxes of doctrinal error, or all that is contrary to the grace of God. Let us beware of those little foxes. The little fox of free will works religion must be kept out of the Lord's vineyard. Our Lord said of Herod, "Go tell that fox, Behold, I cast out devils. He was a fox too, wasn't he? God help us to be vigilant in this matter. God help us to contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Let us beware and sound the warning when little foxes creep in. Little foxes of doubt, little foxes of unbelief, that would distract us from our devotion and worship unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us beware of these little foxes, these distractions. We have so many distractions in life, don't we? There's so many distractions. These little foxes. Our prayer is, Lord, keep us, and spoil these little foxes. Don't let these little foxes spoil the joy we have in Christ and the comfort we have in Christ. For we are but tender grapes. We are just tender grapes. When I was in Boy Scouts when I was a kid, you have different ranks, but the first rank was a tenderfoot. A tenderfoot, and a second class and first class, and then a star and a life, and finally an eagle. But we're just tender grapes. We're no match for the foxes. The Lord has to come and help us and sustain us and save us and keep us and secure us. Now look at verse 16. My beloved is mine. He's all mine. Now every believer can say that. Christ is mine. Christ is all and in all. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and in him we are complete. My beloved is mine. And I'm his. He feeds among his people, his lilies, his people. Again, the church declares the love we have for the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe it was Robert Hawker I read that said this is the happiest verse in the Bible. My beloved is mine. I tend to agree, don't you? My beloved is mine. Just think about that. Meditate upon that. Someone else said of this verse, a short but most comprehensive verse as found anywhere in the Bible. Short and comprehensive. My beloved Savior, my beloved Redeemer, he's all my salvation. As Simeon said, Lord, let me die now. I've seen thy Savior. My beloved is all mine. He's all my hope, all my peace, all my righteousness. And I'm his. I'm his because he chose me. I'm his because he bought me. I'm his because he called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. I'm his because he saved me. And then he feeds us. He dwells among his people. My beloved is mine, and boy, I am his. He says this again over here. Look over here at chapter 6. Turn one page over here to chapter 6. Look at verse 2 and 3, chapter 6. My beloved has gone down into his garden to the beds of the spices to feed in the garden to gather his lilies. Talking about the garden of his church, the garden of his people. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He feeds among the lilies, among his people, among his lilies. You remember he said, I am the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valleys. As the lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters. My beloved is mine. He's my Savior. He is my Redeemer. Do we have any other hope? Is there any salvation in any other than the Lord Jesus Christ? He's all of our salvation. God the Father in that eternal covenant of grace had given us to the Lord Jesus Christ. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love. He chose us in that eternal covenant of grace. God the Father did. God the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, has redeemed us with his precious blood. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all our sin. He bought us with his own blood. And God, the Holy Spirit, confirmed this calling, confirmed us by calling us out of darkness into his marvelous light and made us new creatures in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing, our Lord said. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. My beloved is mine, and I'm his. I'm his. Christ alone in the covenant of grace has made us to differ. Who made you to differ from another? What do you have that you didn't receive? He has made us to differ. Many see no need of him. Many have other things that are beloved to them. They see no beauty in him. But by his sovereign grace, we love him like we love no other. Look over here at chapter 5, verse 16. Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 16. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved. This is my friend. He's a friend of sinners. Oh, you daughters of Jerusalem. My beloved is mine, and I am his. To you who believe the Lord Jesus Christ, you remember Peter writes, to you who believe, he is precious. He's precious. Those who know him, love him. Not like we should, not like we want to, not like we will someday, but we can say with Peter, when the Lord asked Peter, Peter, do you love me? Yea, Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. By nature, we don't love the gospel. We love darkness rather than the light. But by his grace, he manifests the love of God as shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit. Those called by the gospel do love him. They do love him. My beloved is mine and I am his. He feeds his people. For all who trust Christ alone for salvation, we joyfully declare this with assurance. Not presumption, but with assurance. My beloved is mine and I am his. This assurance comes from looking to the Lord Jesus Christ, not to my feelings, but to his fullness. Not to my experience, but his exceeding grace and his mercy revealed to us in Christ. We have the precious promises of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's, remember, called exceeding great and precious promises. I'm persuaded like Abraham, aren't you? That all that God promised, he's able to perform. Not one word of his promise will fail. We're looking to the Lord Jesus Christ for all of salvation. We don't look to our repentance, but to his ransom. We don't look to our works, but his worth. We don't look to our prayers, but his promises. We don't look to our faithfulness, but we look to his faithfulness. Our salvation is based upon whose faithfulness? Based upon his faithfulness, isn't it? Listen to this scripture. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. Not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. You see, our salvation is based upon the doing and dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's based upon his love for us, not our love for him. It's based upon his love for us, based upon his faithfulness. It's not based upon our sacrifices, based upon his great sacrifice. This is my beloved. He said he feeds among the lilies. The Lord is still pleased to feed among his people today. We are the lilies. He's made us lilies of his choice, his doing. The Lord is still pleased to meet and feed his people. He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, that's where I am. He meets to feed his people as the good shepherd. He leads us in green pastures of his word. And because the Lord is our shepherd, we can say, I shall not want for any good thing. I shall not want for righteousness, redemption. I shall not want for salvation. We have all these things in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 17 in closing. Until the day break and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Beder. You remember verse 9, we had this before in verse 9, and I believe over here, verse 8, I charge you, O daughters of, or verse 7, Jerusalem, by the roes, by the hinds of the field, that you stir not up nor wake my love till he please. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart, a young deer. Behold, he standeth behind our wall, looketh forth at the window, showing himself, flourishing himself through the lattice. Now, verse 17, chapter 2, verse 17. Until the daybreak and the shadows flee away. Don't we have a lot of shadows in our life? A lot of fear, a lot of doubt, anxiety. Until the day break, the day dawn, the day stars arise in our hearts, and the shadows flee away. Our prayer is, Lord, turn quickly unto us, my beloved, and come quickly and relieve us and help us in our time of need. The believer looks to the Lord with great confidence and delight that our beloved will continue to turn us and quickly drive away the shadows of fear, doubt, difficulty, separation, and that word there, Beder, the mountains of division. Lord, take away these mountains of separation and division and make the light of your grace to illuminate our soul until the day dawn and the day star arises in our hearts. Make the shadows flee away. Look at verse 16. My beloved is mine. He is the beloved Lord, the beloved Savior, and I'm his by his grace. And he feeds us daily, cares for us daily as our good shepherd, as our chief shepherd, as our great shepherd.